1 Samuel chapter 2 is where we kind of stopped in the middle of that last time. Yeah, we looked at the beginning of chapter 2, and we saw the magnificent prayer that Samuel's mom prayed, and how it was just filled with praise for all the Lord has done for her. And in that prayer, she also praised God for his power in ruling over all the earth, and in how the Lord, you know, the enemies of the Lord, they don't really stand a chance against him. So she brought all that up in that prayer, and it was all done because she was so thankful that not only the Lord had blessed her with a son, but that she'd give her son back to the Lord to serve him. So that was really encouraging to see her heart of being so giving to say, Lord, I'm bringing him back, and I'm just rejoicing that I'm going to give my son to you for service to you. So that's pretty cool. And immediately following that beautiful prayer, we saw the wickedness of Eli's sons. You know, they were supposed to be the priests who served the people when they brought their sacrifices to the Lord. But instead of helping the people, they were helping themselves to all the meat that was supposed to be sacrificed to the Lord. And remember, if the people didn't give them the meat when they demanded it, they even, you know, threatened the people that they would take it forcibly if it wasn't offered to them. So the Lord puts these things, these pictures here side by side. We have the beautiful prayer of Samuel's mom, and right next to it, we have the ugliness of Eli's sons. And I believe the Lord's trying to let us see this important principle from his viewpoint, that it's beautiful in his sight when we love, honor, and obey the Lord, but it's extremely ugly when we disobey and do things against the Lord. So I think that principle is so important. Let me say it again, even though I don't want to wear it out here, but it's beautiful in his sight when we just love, honor, and obey the Lord. And it's extremely ugly in his sight when we disobey and we do things against the Lord. So the Lord really wants to get that into us. So he's going to continue to show us the contrast between the faithfulness of Samuel's family and the shameful and disgraceful actions of Eli's son. So let's start by reading verse 17. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 17 here. It says, therefore, the sin of the young men, talking about Eli's sons, the priests at this time, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord. They detested it. That's what it's talking about. They really looked down upon it as being unworthy. Then in verse 18 it says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. So the Lord here, he emphasizes that Samuel was just a child, and even his wearing this ephod that the priest was supposed to wear, it showed how serious he was in obeying the Lord. He was following the details that the Lord commanded. And it's so cool to see this. I think the Lord points out these little details just for us to notice that. So Samuel, even as a child, he was showing better wisdom than Eli's sons. And those guys were grown men at this point. You know, the Lord called them young men in verse 17. And we mentioned this last time, that you can serve the Lord at any age. You know, in the Bible, we see young children like Samuel here, and we see elderly people serving the Lord successfully. So don't let your age be a factor in stopping you from serving the Lord. So verse 19, it goes on. Moreover, his mother, and this is Hannah, if you remember her name from earlier, says, moreover, Samuel's mother here used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So this robe, you can imagine, each year she had to make it probably a little bit bigger. And he was probably waiting for mom, saying, man, this thing's really creeping up on me. I hope she gets here soon. Because, you know, sometimes you hit those teenage years and you grow a foot in a year, right? So, yeah, she brought him a robe every year to go with this. And it shows us the faithfulness of Samuel's parents as we see this happen here. You know, they continued to come to fulfill their sacrifice to the Lord every year. They were consistent in that. And we see that Samuel's mom, she was a giving person, you know, putting the time and effort into making this robe for her son every year. You know, notice the contrast between her giving and the sons of Eli who were always taking. So be a giver, not a taker. You know, the Lord tells us the same thing in the New Testament. He said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. I think it would have better than somebody else. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out, not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So we're told there, you know, to help each other and not to help ourselves all the time, like we see these guys were doing. Then in verse 20 it says, "And Eli would bless Elkanah," that was Samuel's dad, "and his wife, Hannah." And Eli was the high priest, the father of these sons who were so wicked at this point. And he would bless him, the family there, and say, "The Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord." And it's talking about her bringing her son back and giving her to the Lord for the Lord's service. So he would bless them, and it says, and then they would go to their own home. So they'd leave at the end of the time. They performed their sacrifice to the Lord, and she got to spend time with Samuel, probably give him that little robe, and they would receive this blessing, and then they would go home. So it sounds like Eli would always bless them before they would leave to go home. And that's encouraging to see, too, because despite the way his wicked sons treated people when they came and stole their sacrifices, basically, at least Eli would bless Samuel's parents before they left. So verse 21 says, "And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived, and she bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord." And remember, Hannah could not have kids before. She just tried and tried, and she never could have a child. And we were told it's because the Lord closed her womb. So now the Lord comes and he blesses her with these kids. And it just kind of subtly mentions at the end of verse 21 that meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So he's growing, and he's doing things God's way, and he's just standing out there apart from these wicked sons of Eli. So in this situation with Hannah, the Lord answered Eli's prayer. You know, he had said every year, "Lord, bless you guys with kids," from this woman, because she did such a honorable thing. So his prayer was answered. Hannah gave her only child, Samuel, to the Lord, and the Lord blessed her with 5 more kids. So you just can't outgive the Lord. It's pretty cool picture there. And look at this principle too. The Lord blessed Hannah with more of what she sacrificially gave to the Lord. Now think about that. She gave her only child, very precious to her, and God blessed her with 5 more children. So what have you or I sacrificially given to the Lord? You know, if God gave us back more today, right now, of what we sacrificially gave to him, how big of a container or vehicle will we need to carry it home after service today? Hopefully a couple semis, right? And think about how sacrificial this was for Samuel's mom. I mean, you remember in chapter 1 that she couldn't have kids. You know, the Lord had closed her womb. So when she finally had this child, you would think that she'd have people telling her, "Look, honey, you were just lucky to have one kid. You know, don't give this child away. I'm sure God will understand." You know, but Hannah kept her vow before the Lord, and she gave Samuel back to the Lord at a very young age. So you think about it. There was no guarantee that she would ever have more kids. I mean, it took so long to have just one child. You know, what are the odds that she was going to have any more? And yet, Hannah kept her vow and honored the Lord. You know, she wasn't doing this to get more kids. We don't see that anywhere in the story. Yeah, she was just thanking the Lord for the gift of a son that he gave her. Now, in our selfish society today, you're not really encouraged to sacrificially do anything for anybody other than yourself. I mean, you hear people say stuff like, "You just need to do this for you. You deserve this. You have to take care of number one. Blah, blah, blah," right? I mean, you hear that a whole bunch in the media. But where's the good in that? You know, you can't honor the Lord by following that bad advice. And usually, we do plenty for ourselves, you know? We need to get our eyes off of ourselves and get our eyes on Jesus and just ask him, "Lord, what can I do for you?" You know, the best thing we can do is simply surrender our entire life to the Lord and say, "Lord, here's my life. Take it and use it as you will." That's truly the best thing we can do. You know, read Romans 12 when you get a chance, verses 1 and 2, and then pray just as the Lord leads you through that. You know, we've already seen, too, how wicked the sons of Eli were, and we've seen that Samuel was dropped off in the very middle of this place, right where these evil guys lived and worked and did all their nasty stuff. So why would the Lord put him there? Wouldn't you be concerned about the bad influences around him and how they might affect his upbringing? You wouldn't want your kids raised in that place, right? When you look how bad it was. Well, think about this. If it was the Lord's will for Samuel to be there, and it was, we see that from the story, then the Lord was going to protect him from all the bad stuff. And as a matter of fact, you know, it appears that the Lord was putting him there as part of his training. And it's the part that's really hard for us to go through. It's the training of what not to do. So as young Samuel saw up close how bad it was for these guys to disobey the Lord and to live so selfishly, he was learning what not to do. The Lord puts us through that training too as he prepares us to serve him. If you've been there, you know it's not a comfortable place to be. You're learning what not to do, and it bothers you to see things that are done so bad. But it's an important part of our training for the Lord. So if you're in one of those places right now, just learn the lessons the Lord has for you there until he changes things for you. And he will come and deliver you from that place. But it's after you've learned all that he wants you to learn there. And you know what? Those lessons are hard, but you never forget them. So it's some extremely valuable training from the Lord. Just hang in there. And I know if you've been to those places, and I've been there too, it's like, Lord, this isn't what I planned. This isn't what I wanted. Why did you put me here? And you find out down the road, the Lord was saying, I wanted you to see how bad it is when somebody doesn't serve me the right way. And it's a painful thing to see, and it's a painful thing to go through. So I hear the Lord saying, basically, don't you ever be like that. Woo, tough lessons from the Lord. So verse 22 goes on. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So there were these women we hear of back earlier in I think it's Deuteronomy, it points this out. They were servants. They came to the tabernacle to serve the Lord. They were just kind of quietly there to help out as they could, whatever was needed. It's this awesome thing. We see these ladies in different parts of Scripture that just kind of work in the background, and I think we're going to find they're first in line when it comes to rewards the Lord gives out in glory there. But here these ladies came, and these guys were basically seducing them. And it's just a sad picture. So we're told a couple of things here, right here in this verse 22. First of all, we're told that Eli's sons were extremely wicked. I mean, we saw the stuff they did before. But they even had sexual relations with the women who came to serve the Lord at the tabernacle, and they were seducing these ladies. And they were probably coming up with some sly statements, you know, to tell them, this is okay. It's cool. You know, God's okay with this. We're the priests. We do it all the time. No problem, you know. So it's a really sad thing that they did. And just when you thought that these guys couldn't sink any lower, they did this stuff too. And don't you think it's amazing? The Lord doesn't hide this stuff. He shows us how bad people can be. These are guys that are supposedly in church, you know, doing all this wicked stuff. Yeah. But the main problem with these guys was that they had no fear of the Lord. You know, so when you have that lack of fear of the Lord, any sinful thing is possible. So don't be surprised when you see some of the junk that's out there. People are not fearing the Lord, even in the church. Yeah, so the fear of the Lord, you think about it, it's so essential for us. We need that. You know, not only is the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom, the Bible tells us, you know, but it also protects us from doing evil stuff if you have that. Because you're thinking, I ain't going to do this. I don't want the Lord coming after me. You know, back in school, when my buddies wanted to do something stupid with them, I'd always say no thanks because I knew that somehow my dad was watching and I would get it when I got home. I didn't want any part of that. So that kept me out of a lot of trouble. And that's the kind of healthy fear of the Lord that we need, the kind that we know our daddy's watching and it's going to keep us out of a lot of trouble. And don't forget, our heavenly dad is watching. He is in those places that he sees, you know. So the first thing that we were told was that Eli's sons were extremely wicked. And the second thing we're told in this verse is that their dad, Eli, he knew what they were doing. So he was fully aware of what they were involved in. The amazing thing is they must have tried to hide what they were doing because it doesn't say that Eli saw what they were doing, but it says he heard about it from other people. So that's some heartbreaking news to a parent when someone has to come and tell you, your kids are doing some evil stuff, some wicked stuff. That hurts. Verse 23, it says, so he said to them, This is Eli talking to his sons. Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. So Eli gave his sons here a verbal rebuke, and he's going to say some other things here, but they needed something stronger than just a verbal rebuke, we're going to see. They needed some action to be taken here for their flagrant disrespect for the Lord and stealing the people's sacrifices they brought and then sleeping with the ladies that came to serve the Lord. So Eli's sons were wicked, and he wasn't stopping them from doing their evil actions. You know, the Lord dealt with this kind of stuff back in Numbers 15. It speaks about sinning defiantly against the Lord, when you know better, but you're going to do it anyway. And according to that, his sons were supposed to be cut off, that passage says, from the people. Some people look at that cutting off as being put to death for the crimes. And hey, the Lord had death penalty for adultery, right? So this is a fornication these guys were doing at best, and adultery at worst. So yeah, they probably were really eligible for capital punishment here. But to kind of understand the attitude that these guys had, think about an older child. You know, they're in defiance of their parents, and they might say something like this if they're defiant like that. A person might come up to them and say, why are you doing that? Because your parents said that you should never do that. And that rebellious child would answer, I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. And that's the attitude these guys had, and they weren't going to change. We see that from the story. And somebody said, you know, it's sad when men who are supposedly ministers of God use their positions to rip people off, and it causes people to blaspheme God. So it's a horrible thing these guys were doing. Verse 24 goes on, as he's still talking to his sons, and he says, no, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. So you're making the people sin against God. So he said, if one man sins against another, then God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who's going to intercede for him? So I said, you know, if you sin against another guy, you might cry out to God, and he might be the judge for you, and he might be your attorney and help you through that, and maybe even defend you if you were innocent. But if you sin against God, he's going to intercede on that one. You know, you kind of ran past your options there. So he says, nevertheless, in verse 25, the end of his statement to them, their response, nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father. They didn't want to hear it. And it tells us something here, because the Lord desired to kill them. So Eli waited to deal with his sons until it was too late. You know, he warned them about God's judgment, but he should have taken action against them sooner and actually removed them from their position. There are some people who are dangerous when you give them authority, right? You've seen those people before. These guys are like that. They took advantage of people because of the position they had. So they were doing more damage than good. They should have been removed. But at this point, they'd gone past the point of no return, so to speak. So the Lord was going to destroy them. And God is a God of justice. He's going to repay people for the evil they've done. Since these guys were enjoying this, having no fear of the Lord, it appears the Lord was just going to keep that attitude going for him. If you guys are enjoying this, we're just going to let you continue on that path that you want to do anyway. And the scary thing is, if you see that in your own life, you just know that judgment is heading your way. You know, man, I hope we see that that we really need to fear the Lord in our life, something we need. You don't want the judgment that's coming for those who don't have the fear of the Lord. Verse 26 goes on. So here we're hearing about the ugliness of these guys again. And then verse 26, and the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor, both with the Lord and with men. So these guys are doing all their wicked stuff, and Samuel's just growing, you know, growing in the Lord, growing taller, growing bigger and stuff. And the way that's stated, if you're familiar with that, it sounds a whole lot like Luke chapter 2 there, where it talks to us about Jesus, and it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men when he was a young child growing. So we get here a picture of Jesus. It's a really cool picture. But you think about Samuel right in the midst of this ugliness here, and Samuel just kept going in the right direction, even though this is going on around him all the time. So the Lord protected him, and he was using this setting to teach him what not to do. And here's an example for us, you know, that you can't blame your behavior on the environment that you were raised in. And that's a favorite excuse in our day, isn't it? You know, look at the wicked environment that surrounded Samuel, and he just kept doing what was right in sight of God. So it can be done, and we can't blame everything on the way we were raised. Now, verse 27 goes on, "Then a man of God came to Eli, and he said to him, 'Thus says the Lord.'" So the Lord sent a man to come speak to Eli, a guy who was listening to the Lord, hearing from him. We're not even given his name. This is one of the guys I want to meet someday when we're in glory and say, "So you were the guy," because this is a tough message he's got to deliver. Can you imagine going to the high priest and having to say the things he's going to have to say? Yeah, I don't think I'd really jump up and say, "Oh, take me, I'll do that job." So verse 27 says, "Then a man of God came to Eli, and he said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father?'" He's talking about Aaron when the Lord chose his family line to be the high priest. He said, "Didn't I clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house?" So that's a long time ago. And he said in verse 28, "Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire?" So the Lord was allowing them to have food from that. So here, the Lord was letting Eli know that he had set up this priesthood. It was a God thing. And it was supposed to be a very special thing that the Lord had done. They were supposed to be his priests, and they were to serve at his altar, not their own thing here. And they were to do all of these things in the very presence of the Lord, like the Lord said there, to wear an ephod before me in the presence of the Lord. So what an honorable calling the Lord had on them. And the Lord had even made special provision for the family of the line of priests that they could have some of the meat from the sacrifices the people brought. I mean, that's an awesome thing. The Lord was going to provide for them that way. You know, man, I hope we don't take for granted all the things that the Lord has done for us. You know, as he saved us in Christ, he brought us right now where we are, and he's got such a tremendous future waiting for us in heaven. You know, read Ephesians chapter 1 later if you want, see some of the things the Lord's done for you if you're a follower of Christ. What a blessing. Verse 29, Lord's still talking through this prophet here. He said, "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me?" And there is a heavy charge laid on him that you have honored your sons more than you honor me. And it goes on here to say, "To make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people." So, you know, the Lord's saying through this, this is in my house. You're offending me, and you're afraid of offending your sons more than you are of offending me. Wow, what a heavy deal. So we really need to take this to heart in our day, you know, because in our culture, we're told that we're supposed to be friends with our kids. And that's apparently what he was trying to do. But the truth is, being the parent, it means that sometimes your kids aren't going to be happy with you. Their rebellious nature, which is in all of us, right? It doesn't like to be told what to do. So if you're the parent and you're telling your child what they should, there's going to be times that, you know, they're going to be mad at you, and that's okay. As the parent, you got to watch out for their best interest, and there are times when they aren't mature enough to see that. You know, they just don't get what's best for them. So just being a friend of them isn't really going to help them, and we see the danger here of Eli. I think he was in that boat. Now think about this too. You know, if we fear the Lord and we parent our kids as the Lord teaches us to, they might be mad at us, you know, when we have to discipline them or we have to say no to something they want. But in the long run, it's going to pay off for them. You know, you can't go wrong doing things the way the Lord tells us to do them. You know, there was a time when I was a young parent and I'd have to discipline one of our kids and they were getting in trouble for doing the same thing like 4 days in a row. It's like, oh my goodness, you know. So I'd be talking to the Lord. I'd be saying, "Lord, I'm disciplining them like you said, and it looks like it's not working, but I'm just going to keep doing this because it's all I know to do." You know, and lo and behold, the light would finally come on, and the child would get it. And they'd think, you know, if I do this again, I'm going to get in trouble for this again. It's like, yes, that is so true. And that's the way the Lord deals with us, right? So in my heart, when that happened, I'm saying, thank you, Lord, that they finally get this, you know. And the Lord tells us in Proverbs 13, verse 24, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." I know you think about this, that in our culture, good old Dr. Spock told us, spare that rod. Don't do that to that child. What did God say about that? You hate your kid if that's what you do to him. You hate him. If you love him, you're going to discipline him. You want to help them, spare them from all the sin they can get into in their life. You know, so I can tell you that you just keep doing things God's way, even when it looks like it's not working, and you'll see that the Lord knows what he's talking about. He's faithful to his word. And you notice the end of verse 29, where the Lord said to Eli here through this guy that, you know, you make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people. He said, you make yourselves. So it sounds like Eli might have verbally rebuked his boys, but on the other hand, he didn't seem to mind all the good supply of barbecue meat they were bringing home. Yeah, the Lord called him on that one. So this man of God has to tell Eli that God has chosen you and he has taken good care of you. But then look at what he has to say in verse 30. And this is a really hard message to deliver. Can you imagine yourself being in this guy's shoes, having to tell the high priest this? So verse 30, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me that those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm, meaning his strength and his family there. And it says, in the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. So the Lord is saying, basically, since you wouldn't discipline your kids, I'm going to discipline you and your kids and future generations. Wow. You know, and that's all on Eli. The Lord puts that all on his shoulders. Wow. Do you feel the weight and conviction of that, being a parent? Man. So our sin here, it reaches way farther than we think about it. And Eli's sin, you know, it was going to affect generations. Scary, scary picture here. Yeah, so the Lord was telling him some things. So verse 32, it says, and you will see an enemy in my dwelling place. And that enemy is going to be the Philistines, who would come a couple chapters later, and they're going to take the ark. So he says, you will see an enemy in my dwelling place despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever. Whoa. Yeah, so the second thing he told him was that everyone in his family was going to die young. Man, how'd you like to hear that word from the Lord? Wow. Painful, painful stuff. Verse 33. Still goes on. It says, but any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar, those that I don't get out of this position of serving me as a priest, they shall consume your eyes. It's going to just tear you up. And what's interesting is he does go blind later on. He says, going to consume your eyes and grieve your heart. Wow. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. So just when they get to the point where it looks like everything's going good, they're all healthy, it's over for them. They're done in this world. So the Lord isn't out to just get these guys. That's not his point. He's letting them know that there are consequences for sin. This isn't God enjoying doing this. The Lord said he never takes pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's not him. He's letting him know how serious sin is. He's letting us know that too. You know, we're tempted to play with sin. Don't fall for that temptation. And the simple choice is that this family made of Eli, they're going to bring consequences on generations down the road. You know, in our me generation that we're living in right now, we need to stop and think through our actions, you know, and realize our sinful choices, they may bring consequences on future generations in our own family. You don't want to face that. You don't want those regrets. You know, those regrets there. Those are not pleasant thoughts, but it's better to think of them now before it's too late. Verse 34 goes on. Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. So they're going to die in the same day. So the Lord is basically saying, you know, if you don't believe this message I'm sending you, that it's going to affect generations down the road because of the sin that you're into and your sons are into by not, you know, stopping all this, then here's a sign for you to know that everything I've told you is true. When you see your two sons dying the same day, you will know everything I said is going to happen. Man, again, how would you like to be the one God called and tapped on you in the shoulder and said, hey, I want you to deliver this message to this guy. Yeah, he happens to be the high priest. I want you to tell him this stuff. Wow, that gives me the shivers to think of being called to do that. Verse 35, then he said, I will raise up for myself. This is God still talking to Eli through this man he sent to him. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest. And we find later on this guy's name is Zadok, that the Lord's going to bring into this position. And he stands out kind of in 1 Kings. We'll see this a little more later on. But he said, I'm going to raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. So he's going to do things completely my way. He said, I will build him a sure house. And by the way, it's kind of implied, you're not going to get this sure house, Eli. Yours is falling apart. And he says, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. So God's going to hold him in a very honorable place. He's going to esteem him very highly. And in verse 36, and it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house, those few descendants who are going to survive, even though they'll die at a young age, he said, everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread. And they're going to say, please put me in one of the priestly positions that I may eat a piece of bread. So he's saying, I'm going to take your family so low. When I bring this faithful priest along, your family's going to be crawling to him and saying, please, please use me, please, just so I could get a morsel of bread and maybe a coin here that I could get something else, you know, just to survive. Oh my goodness, very sad picture there. So this faithful priest, you know, it was going to be Zadok, and we see him coming in later on down the road. And it shows us here that the Lord can raise up faithful people and replace those who will not serve him in the right way. The Lord's able to do that stuff. Now notice, as we looked at this, notice the difference in the parents in this passage. You know, Samuel's parents, they loved the Lord and they trusted the Lord, and Samuel was blessed and they were blessed because of it. But Eli, his family, you know, he served the Lord at times himself, we see, when he dealt with Hannah and stuff, but he didn't love his sons enough to discipline them and raise them in the ways of the Lord. So Eli ended up being doomed, and his sons were doomed as well as future generations paying the price for that. So boy, what a decision to make for us, you know. Do I want to be blessed, or do I want to be doomed? That's the choice the Lord gives us as we look at these things. We'll just take a look at verse 1 in chapter 3, and then we'll stop after that here. But it's a good introduction for where we're headed with this. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, now, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. So all this other stuff's going on. Eli's in big trouble with the Lord, but Samuel's doing what he's supposed to do. He's serving God before Eli, the high priest. And it says, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. So just some thoughts here as we close on this. The word of the Lord was rare in those days because there weren't many people at all who were willing to listen to the Lord. And I don't believe it's because the Lord didn't want to speak to them, you know, but what would be the point since people weren't listening anyway? It's kind of like, why waste your breath? And that's a scary thought, you know, when the Lord's not saying much because nobody's listening much. So we want to ask ourselves a question, am I listening to the Lord? You know, are you taking time to get into his word? There was a guy I knew, and I think I've told some of this before, but he was praying and he was praying. He was asking God for some guidance in his life. And he was telling me this. And he said, you know, the Lord's just not answering me. So I asked him, you know, well, are you reading the Bible? And he said, no. So then I asked him, I said, well, how do you think God's going to talk to you if you don't listen to his word? I mean, do you expect him to send you a letter in your mailbox signed God, you know, or something? Or what do you think? He's already given you 66 books in the Bible. So go there, you know, and we'll talk about this more down the road. But, you know, when we're before the Lord, you know, like right now with this message, you can pray before we get into the word and say, Lord, please speak to me. Please give me what you want me to have today. And he will. He's very faithful doing that. And somebody had said this before. I think I was talking to Rich about it. He had seen this too. He said, you know, even if you're in front of a bad speaker somewhere, and you might have been there this morning, but if you're before a bad speaker, you can even pray, Lord, please give me something from this, you know, and he will. He does that. But you have to ask, you know, because like we said, the Lord's speaking. Are you listening? You know, his word's going out there. Are we hearing what he has to say? So, you know, as we close, we're going to go to prayer here. But if there's somebody here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, know that Jesus died on the cross for you. He paid for your sins completely. He said it is finished, and that means it's completely paid for. That's the technical word that he used right there. And then when God raised him from the dead, it proved that he accepted his sacrifice. So it's done. Our sins are taken care of. We just need Jesus. You know, and he said that nobody comes to the Father except through him. So if you want to get right with God, you want your sins completely removed, you want to be guaranteed eternal life, you just come to Jesus and you accept him. And then hopefully you follow him the rest of the days of your life to bring glory to him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, we come to you and we're so thankful. You're so patient with us, Lord. As we see these stories, it breaks our heart to see people who did things so selfishly, so wickedly, Lord. And they knew better. You had taught them in your word the right way to bring sacrifices, the right way to serve the people, the right way to serve you. And they violated it, Lord. And you had to give them some very heavy consequences. But Lord, next to that, you will show us Samuel, this young child that was so faithful to you, Lord. He was concerned about doing things the right way, the way that you were teaching him. Help us, Lord, to be like him. Help us to hear what you have to say. And help us to have an obedient heart to say, yes, Lord. And Father, if someone is here today, I pray you help them receive Christ. I pray you open their heart for that. And for those of us who maybe have received Christ a long time ago, even a short time ago, Lord, help us to recommit ourselves and say, Lord, I give you my life. I ask you to use it for your glory. You paid for me, Lord, on the cross, and I want to give my life back to you and serve you. And we thank you for your word you bless us with. Help us to learn. And Lord, we just want to give you the praise for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We got to hear how powerful our God is this week when you heard that rolling thunder. I imagine you heard some of that, and we got to hear a reminder of how powerful he is. So don't stop praying for people. You know, there are people that don't know Jesus yet who want to keep praying and asking the Lord to keep working. Don't look at the circumstances. Just keep praying for them. Keep praying and ask the Lord to hear that. Okay, so let's do that right now. Father, we want to lift up those people that are on our heart, the ones that we care about so much, and they need you, Lord. We just pray, continue to go after them. We pray you continue to soften their heart. Help them to humble themselves and just say, I see I need Jesus. And we pray you would do that, Father. There are people in our family, our loved ones, and folks we know, and we just want to put them in your hands, Lord. We pray you do an amazing work and that you would receive all the glory. Give us the boldness, give us the love to share your love with people. And we thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lord, bless you guys. Have a great week with Jesus.